Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Welcome to the Winner's Circle, the Three Beards EPL podcast with a bunch of winners here. Tyler, you're a winner.
Always.
Ken, you're a winner.
Always.
I'm very impressed by you guys this week. Your teams played well enough to move to the next rounds of their...
I'm sure that our teams are listening to this, and they are now motivated that much more to play next week because Thomas Miller is impressed.
Yes. Well,
thanks for that. In this area,
Ken, we have UMBC nearby, all of us.
Woo!
So they're winners.
Upset of the century.
Mm-hmm. Upset of the century, UMBC. I mean, you have to say, Ken, that it had a lot to do with us. Everybody, you're welcome. Ken and I worked very close to that campus for a while, and probably a lot of those athletes learned a lot from us while we were working in that
visited
area.
Visited there a couple of times in my heyday. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, can't say that we didn't have some type of a part in that win there.
Yeah.
Well, I actually hold a degree from UMUC, whose team is notably absent from the March Madness proceedings.
You can't just change a letter. Are you claiming it anyways, Tyler? Are you one of those guys on Facebook that's claiming it?
I love it when I see people that went to UMBC or UMUC and they're like, yeah, I went to Maryland. I'm like, no. I went there and I don't say I went to Maryland.
Yeah.
All this semantic stuff.
Mm-hmm. The big NCAA tournament. Do you guys have pools or you don't really play?
I mean, I don't have pools, but I do like to watch it. Mm-hmm. I would like to point out that there have always been upsets in the NCAA tournament, but, mm-hmm. I mean, we're looking at, you know, skull draggings in these upsets. I mean, these number two, number one, number three seeds, they're losing by, like, 20.
Yeah, UMBC beat UVA by 20. Yeah, and
North Carolina just lost by 21.
Really? I didn't see that. I had dinner. Huh.
Defending champs. Out.
Bracket busting with Ken Lee. Oh, man. That's huge, man. That is big. I did not see that. I have Villanova, so we'll see what happens. I have Gonzaga and Villanova, so if Gonzaga makes the final, I should be in good shape. But anyway, on to the winners that we're talking about. Ken, I want to talk about a couple things this week. I want to talk about the World Cup VAR stuff, because there was some VAR controversy in the Tottenham FA Cup match, although it didn't end up mattering. And your thoughts on it. You sent me a really good article.
It's a very funny word.
Oh, thank you. Are you high, Ken?
No, I'm just saying mattering. Even when I say that, I always question myself. Is this proper? Am I going to sound silly when I say this?
It won't be the first word that we butcher on this show. I can tell you that much, Ken.
I'm just in general in my day-to-day life. That's one of the, you know, like you always have something that you just change the way you're going to say it so you don't have to say that word.
Yeah.
I change what I'm going to say, the manner in which I'm going to say it, so I never have to say mattering, because I'm never sure if it's correct.
Okay, beyond your unconscious hatred for the word mattering, I do want to talk about the Champions League a little bit, Ken. Yeah. As the English league that we have hyped up so much takes body blows this week.
And you guys really let us down this week, didn't you?
I want to talk about Manchester United's form, having four huge matches in a row and winning three of them, but it's still feeling like a loss.
I can't wait.
As Mal goes off the hinges in the last week.
I can't wait for you to have to replace form with just the way United is. You're not going to be able to say form.
I mean, they won three of the matches, but I do want to talk about especially Mourinho's antics this week. How obnoxious they were overall. And I want to talk about the league a little bit, even though none of the big teams played this week. And
Liverpool played.
Yes, they did. And they...
And epic fashion.
Yeah, Mo Salah going berserk. And I want to talk about a league that is very prestigious and near and dear to your heart. I want to talk about Europa, Ken.
Yeah.
And Arsenal's Europa chances. We will start Ken, with that Arsenal, how much does it mean to beat AC Milan the way that you guys did over two legs, and then to have Danny Welbeck have the diviest dive in the history of dives in the box for a penalty?
It's Danny Welbeck. I mean, it's going to happen all the time.
Oh, so divey. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not
hardly
saying that
touched.
I agree with it. I actually can't stand it, but it's just certain players are going to dive. And Danny Welbeck, Ashley Young, Ronaldo. I mean, they're going to hit the floor.
Yeah.
If there's 90 minutes being played in that game, which every soccer game professionally, there's 90 minutes being played, and those guys are on the pitch, they're hitting the deck.
Did you just name three former or current Manchester United players? Because you're trying to say that the diving stems from Manchester? Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, if that's what you took from it, that's what you took from it.
That's
I didn't
totally
say
fine.
It. I didn't
totally
say it,
fine.
Though.
That's fine. So let's talk about it, Ken. Some good news for Arsenal as they win in Europa. They take out AC Milan pretty handily, honestly, over the two legs.
They never saw it coming.
Despite a screamer from, I'm not sure how to say his name, Hockenglue?
I don't even know how to say his name, but yes.
But he hit a screamer for AC Milan.
If you're going to score one, you might as well score it like that.
Yeah, unbelievable. But Arsenal's through. Dortmund is knocked out, Ken. So you guys go into the final eight, and you have a lot of teams to play against that are close to the Arsenal level. And I'm wondering what you think the chances are of Arsenal getting through. Before you answer that, let me read to you the remaining teams. As we start to look at them, we have Arsenal will play CSKA Moscow, usually a Champions League team. They have Lazio, Red Bull, Leipzig, Marseille, and Atletico Madrid Sporting. And you have to say that Atletico Madrid would be the best of those bunch. But where do you rank Arsenal?
I mean, the only team that's really in our way at this point, and this has been my biggest fear. Now, things are starting to kind of turn around. It looks like it's looking like almost, if Atletico Madrid wasn't there, it'd be Arsenal's tournament to lose. Which is a big predicament for Arsenal, a club like Arsenal. Because if you give them something to lose, we're going to lose it. I'll guarantee you that. But now with Dortmund being knocked out by Red Bull, we only really have, I think, Atletico Madrid is the only thing stopping us.
We will see.
And that's Arsenal not to be disrespectful to the clubs left, but, I mean, just look at it. I mean, I don't see anything in the way except for Arsenal, honestly.
Yeah, that's
it's two legs.
That would scare me.
It's two legs for this round as well. I think what we will have going forward into this two-leg series is we did just beat a very prominent European club, albeit is it the AC Milan of yesterday? Probably not, but still, when you beat somebody handedly like that, it does do something for the psyche and the mentality of the club, and I think that this is going to help us, and might have to pull a little page out of Mao's book and just forget the league, and if we finish 10th, so be it. But as long as we win the Europa League, who cares?
Yeah, of course, last year. You know, Ken, with Arsenal winning and then looking across the European leagues, the Champions League this week, the English teams did not really fare all that well besides Arsenal as Tottenham.
Can we stay 1 second? Can I ask your opinion of something? Have you looked at the remaining fixtures in the league for Arsenal?
I did a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
But honestly,
we only have United really left.
Yeah, you guys play.
To play. So I'm not saying that any game is easy for Arsenal, but I want to say like three or four of the next five matches are against teams that are arguably fighting against relegation.
I don't think it's arguable. You're playing Stoke, Southampton, Newcastle, West Ham, and Huddersfield Town. All those teams are within five of the
drop.
All
there. So, I mean, we could theoretically think a lot less about the league and fully focus. We pull one of these other European League moves and we rest our players in the league because the league doesn't matter to us anymore.
Yeah, I think that's something you guys could probably do. The league doesn't matter. If you finish in seventh, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it would be an embarrassment, but I mean,
but if we win Europa, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, and that is what Mal did last year. The other English teams, Manchester United knocked out against Sevilla in...
Embarrassed.
I think this game was... at the two legs, actually, were the worst managerial performances of the season so far. I don't think I've seen anybody mismanage the approach and the tactics as much as Mao did, especially coming into this game with his team beating a good Chelsea team that were struggling, but you still have to beat them. And of course a flying Liverpool team to win those two games, and then go into Sevilla again, treating them like Barcelona, essentially sitting deep. His team looked scared. His tactics were poor, and United was eliminated. Ken, just a horrible loss.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
If you're United, any part of United, whether it be a player, staff member, anyone on the payroll, mm-hmm. or a fan, you should not be going out to a struggling Sevilla. It really does, I think, puts the, it goes back to your argument that second matters. Like, does it really matter when you're losing to clubs who are struggling in their own league that we constantly say are not as tough as the English Premier League? And, you know, maybe, I guess, to your point, we can hang our hat on the fact that we have to play in the English Premier League every week and they're just tired. But that's Mourinho, man.
Yeah.
And I almost feel bad for you, because I really do believe that your delusion state of mind and as a United fan will never even allow you to fully admit that Mourinho is going to tank that club.
So after he loses, he goes on a rant saying that, what, United lose all the time in Europe. He said that that Manchester United essentially has no prestige in the Champions League and hasn't for basically 10 years, is what he was saying.
How does that make you feel, Thomas?
I think Manchester United has prestige, but I mean, he's right that they've been
eliminated. But the captain of your ship saying that...
Oh, how do I feel about that?
Nothing different from a United club. Anyone could come in and manage this, and there's no hope for them? Come on.
I don't know how to say it, because I don't want Tyler to have to go back and beep something out, but I think he's a jerk, I will say.
Yeah. That's the first step. You're kind of like an addict with me.
Okay,
you got to go through the steps of realization. You know, acknowledging that there's an issue is the first step.
Well, the biggest thing to me is that he went in, into this tie with his team, a second-place Premier League team, or you can say whatever you want about them. You could say they're the fourth-best team. It doesn't matter. With a good team. This is the best Manchester United team that they've had since Sir Alex Ferguson. You can put that any way you want to, but that is the truth of the matter. He's right about that. That United, before him, United finished in fourth. Finished in like seventh, and finished in fifth, and finished in sixth with him, and finished in fourth. They didn't finish above fourth since Sir Alex Ferguson left. He's right about that. So basically what he was trying to say is, no, wait, we're not that good anymore. And you're just like, you have a plus 35 goal differential in the Premier League, and you go into Sevilla, a team that I don't even think they had a positive goal differential going into that game. And that first leg, United should have lost 2-0 because of his tactics.
Yeah.
And then the second leg, we did lose. Well, we lost 2-1, but really it was 2-0. Smalling scored a goal in like the 87th minute that didn't matter. But United lost completely, and it was 100% his fault. And, you know, Mal does a lot of deflective stuff that you hate, and I just don't understand it. In this case, he didn't have to deflect from his players, Ken, because the onus was 1,000% on him. Like, it was already his fault, so you didn't have to deflect
anything.
Yeah, but
then it goes from not deflecting on the players to deflecting the club.
Yeah, yeah.
The club as a whole
has
no business in Europe. What do you expect from me?
That's basically what he said.
He is terrible. And I will almost... I heard a little rumbling, and I don't want to stray too far from our topic here, but I heard a little bit of a rumbling on, I want to say it was some ESPN FC video,
mm-hmm.
that there is major, major talk of Manchester United going, like, challenging Real Madrid for Pochettino and Kane.
But... I mean, they just signed Mao to a 5-year deal.
Right, but they got to get rid of him. He is a full-out disease to that club.
He definitely creates a black cloud as United. So they lose that game. He calls everybody out, saying basically that first he calls the club out after that match. Then United go into the weekend in an FA Cup quarterfinal against Brighton at home. They win 2-0, and they're a pretty comfortable 2-0 win. A couple saves from Romero, but overall pretty comfortable. And he just blasts all the players except for Lukaku and Matic. He says everybody else lacks character and class on the team. Just completely, like, just both barrels on his club. It's amazing, like, all the public things he does. I really dislike how publicly and individually he criticizes players. I just think in the short term you might get a little boost, but in the long term your players will never forget that and roll on you in the first opportunity.
It's bad when I start thinking to myself, man, I would rather listen to Conte than listen to Mal.
Yeah.
I can't handle Mal. Like, I'm just glad that he is not associated with my club. I could not handle that. If it was between dealing with Wenger for 10 more years and getting Mal, I'd take Wenger for 10 more years, because arguably Mal has not really brought anything to United.
I mean, we're in second.
Who cares?
And we don't look bad.
You're getting knocked out of Champions League to a sixth place Sevilla with a -7 goal differential and what we call a very weak league. And the only reason he didn't win is because your manager is too scared to play like he wants to win. He plays like he doesn't want to lose. He's a loser.
I agree with that.
I think that he's not a good manager anymore.
That could be true. That could be true. The other side of it is the pure fact that United are in second place. They're going to finish, I mean, barring a collapse, which I wouldn't put past them with the way he's treating the team right now, where they will finish with the most points they've had since Sir Alex Ferguson. If they finish in second, all of a sudden you've gone from finishing fourth, fifth, or sixth.
You could score 1,000 points, but
if finishing second.
But if one more team scores 1,001, Tom, who cares?
I think there's a difference, though. If Arsenal could be in second place instead of sixth, I think you would take it.
Of course I would take it, but right now I'll finish in 15th and win Europa League. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter.
As long
as you get in Champions League, and what I'm telling you is second and third getting Champions League guaranteed.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm saying. There's no prestige in second. There's none.
You're trying to progress as a club, and he was absolutely right about that.
Well, you could finish in fifth, and it would be progression.
That's true, but it wouldn't really be progression.
Right, but I mean, it's a general term. What I'm just trying to say, you put a lot of emphasis on the importance of second, and second doesn't matter. I cannot wait. I want Man United to finish in another place other than second, just so I can still hear you say how important second place is when it's Tottenham or Liverpool that finished there.
I'd rather have second place than anything else. That's all I'm saying. United still have a chance in the FA Cup. Mal, whether or not he just put a bunch of bullets in his own boat and is sinking, that remains to be seen. It very well could happen. Tyler would be very familiar with Mal sinking the boat, as Chelsea a few years ago just completely rolled on him and his methods in the third year. And in the other times that he...
Maybe the hotel he's staying at said, look, Mal, we don't even like you anymore. We're not going to let you stay here past June. So you better get fired quick from United, or you better buy a house here.
It does feel like since he signed his deal, he's just been talking nonstop trash on players, fans, and the club. Like,
because
he has
why?
Really fired at all of them.
I would imagine now to get rid of Mal. Mal is looking at a pretty hefty check.
Yeah, that could be.
Cares? I think Mal, I can't talk enough about how I think Mal is just garbage. And I think he's just terrible for a club. And, you know, United can have him. Good for them. Good for you.
It's definitely very difficult to root for him when he's taking shots and using... I think he just outdoes himself. I think he, a long time ago, discovered that he could manipulate the media a little bit and take pressure off his team, that he's taken it so far now and has done this for the last two or three jobs that he's had, that he just actually ends up shooting himself in the foot again. You know, like, whatever deflection he was doing... He tries to, like, double and triple up on it. It's like, no, you're just ruining everything. Talking bad individually about players. I mean, he absolutely railed Luke Shaw, who's a 22-year-old left back. Absolutely railed him, just took him off at halftime, and then destroyed him in the media again, which is the third or fourth time he's done that. Said that he had no idea what he was doing and that crosses were coming in. He constantly screams at the guy on TV. He knows he's being watched. I don't know. There's a cloud that follows him around, a cloud of negativity, and I think that United are happy to finish in the top four, and Mourinho will bring that when his teams are listening to him. But if he continues to do what he does, that's why he never lasts more than 2.5 years at a job, because his message doesn't get stale. I think his players turn on him.
Well, it can't get stale when it's stale from the beginning. It's just the players finally realize that.
Yeah.
It's no different tactically with Mal. It's all been the same, but now he's starting to talk trash about the players, and now they're like, wait a second, you're the one that's been telling us to do this for 2 years.
Yeah. We'll see what happens
Whatever. It's just turned into a hate Mal podcast.
That's fine. It needed to happen. That Sevilla loss was so embarrassing for me. I mean, as a fan. But on the other hand, they do win three of their four big matches. Now they're pretty much, they have the FA Cup left. They win their match against Brighton. Lukaku scores again. He has, I think, 28 goals in all comps. He's been playing much better. And United, they get the draw against Tottenham for the semifinals. It's just essentially a home game for Tottenham, as it is at Wembley, Ken. And Tottenham has made Wembley their home. They win, of course, playing without Harry Kane, with Son up top, and Eriksen with a brilliant game. And, Ken, it looks to me like the FA Cup might be the last hurrah for Conte, as well as Chelsea sneaks through against Leicester. Did you watch that game?
Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah, it was a really good one. I thought that exciting. It could have gone either way. Leicester had a chance at the very end. There was a little scrum in front of the box before Chelsea scored their second. Really, really bad misread from Schmeichel on the goal. I don't know if you saw him come out and try to get that corner or that cross. Totally missed it, and a 5'6" Spanish guy scores a header because your goalie's not in the goal, as he just had to make contact and didn't have to do anything else. But yeah, so the FA Cup doesn't have the prestige that it usually does because Arsenal's not in it, obviously. But Chelsea sneaks through. Tyler, how are you feeling about Chelsea getting the easy draw and having to face a struggling Southampton team that will be wrapped up in relegation talk and probably start a second team against you?
I will take it.
That's a good way to put it.
Yep. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Sure. How'd you feel about today's game with Chelsea coming off the beating by Messi? Messi in Barcelona. Messi is just ridiculous right now. We'll talk about that in a second. But Chelsea coming off the loss, but they scraped through again in the FA Cup. And they're in the semifinals, and they're expected to be finalists.
Oh, I would like to just make sure that you guys acknowledge Morata's fantastic shot off the assist from Willian.
Yeah, Willian absolutely on fire. And you noticed that that Hazard actually ended up on the left in this game, Ken. Or Tyler, he ended up out there, and Willian was on the right. They could play at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah, on the other hand, Hazard really didn't do much in this game, but it's one of those games where you're in a position like Manchester United where you just take what you can get, especially after the Barcelona game. Honestly, you'd have to say with the Barcelona game, unlike Tottenham, who won their difficult group, Chelsea lost their group. They finished in second, and they paid for it by having to... they drew Barcelona in the first round of knockouts because they were a 2 seed. So, Ken, out goes Chelsea. I have to ask, do you think that Messi is going to be stopped in this Champions League? I mean, you have to look at the way he's playing right now. He megs Courtois twice, like I said, and he's just flying right now. They're undefeated in the league. And they're about ready to kick back and do their thing where they rest their players. Can he be stopped, Ken?
I will stick with my usual, what I call my tried and true Lionel Messi argument. Is he fantastic? Of course, there's no argument. No one's questioning the ability that the guy has. I'm only questioning the idea that when you say Lionel Messi, you have to immediately admit that he's the best player in the world. I will never say that. I will never admit that. I will never believe that, because he's only played for one club his entire life. So can he be stopped in the Champions League? Probably not, because he plays in a club where he's been since he was 10 years old, that has been completely built around him to where he is able to only flourish in a league where, to your point, this season they're completely undefeated. Real Madrid just decided to not show up to play. And in a league where typically you only have those two teams and the occasional third team will show up every once in a while and make it interesting, they're not ever going to have any type of challenge. I mean, it's the usual suspects. Barca, Real, Atletico Madrid. Outside of that, I mean, what do you have? Like a Valencia creeps up every once in a while. Maybe. They just kind of like that little annoying little like tug on the shirt, but they're never serious. So I just think that he has so much left in him for when it comes to playing these other European clubs in this one tournament that goes on outside of the Spanish league, the Champions League. Of course, he's always going to seem unstoppable. And I just find that, that's an argument that needs to be made. And I think that, does he have to do it to prove me wrong? No, he doesn't even know who I am. But I think there's a good amount of people who feel the same way, that Lionel Messi never proved himself outside of a league.
I would kind of ruin it,
and it makes it to where someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, who I can't stand, is absolutely the best player in the world.
Can I say one thing right there, real quick?
Keep in time.
Yeah, just the only thing, one part of your statement I'll pick apart about him not proving himself outside of his league. He does hold many records for World Cup qualifiers. He's, I think, the all-time top goal scorer in qualifying matches. And he also has scored quite a few goals internationally with his international team. So, I mean, there's some argument to be made there that he is good outside of his league. I agree with you completely that he's not Cristiano Ronaldo that goes to different teams in different leagues and wins titles the first or second year that he's there. But I wouldn't say that he's completely unproven outside of his Spanish league team.
Is there a way for us to remember this specific moment? Because I'm pretty sure with us being in a World Cup year, we're going to come back to this argument. And I don't want to go into a World Cup conversation specifically right now, but I have my own thoughts of what the World Cup actually means in the world, in the realm of professional football.
Yeah, and we had that discussion the other day, and I thought your points were very interesting. We'd definitely get into that. In terms of
good
Messi,
points though, Tyler Alfeld, but I will revisit that on a day very close to now. Remember what you said.
I do want to finish with the Messi conversation. I mean, I think He is the best player because he's on Barcelona, because Barcelona's been so good. This year, he's the best player. But for the last 10, 12 years, Ronaldo and he have been trading the Ballon d'Ors. And whether or not, I mean, of course, Messi had a terrific team around him. And in a vacuum, I would take Ronaldo because Ronaldo can score with his head. He can score, well, he used to be better at free kicks. But his ability to score so many different ways and without help,
I think gives him an advantage
normally, yes. But Messi, when his team is what it is right now, and when it has been with Xabi and Iniesta, he's the best player in the world. They just trade back and forth. It's ridiculous.
Let's ask a very crazy question that is probably like, I deserve to be slapped to be asked to even ask this because it doesn't matter. But is Barcelona who they are today without Lionel Messi? Would they have found someone else?
No.
You think that they would be some chump Spanish team?
They wouldn't be chumps, but they would be down a tier. They would be down in that second tier.
So they wouldn't be winning Spanish leagues. They wouldn't be competing in Champions
League. If Ronaldo was playing on Real Madrid, I don't think that Barcelona, when Ronaldo's in form, Barcelona doesn't win the league. I mean,
well, then that right there, I think it gives you the argument that maybe Lionel Messi is the best player in the world. And I just fail to even allow myself to realize it, because if Barcelona is not Barcelona without Lionel Messi, then he becomes a very integral part of the puzzle here.
I'm not saying that they'd be bad, but I'm saying they're not the best two teams in the world for the last 10 years without him. Okay. I think that they drop into that second tier. I mean, they might, you know, they have Suarez. He's awesome too. But they drop into that second tier of teams because he's magical Messi. I mean, look what he did to Chelsea. I mean, in the second minute, he scores, he megs Courtois, sees the opening. He's probably the only player in the world that scores that goal. And he megs him again later in the game. He picks something out and he has the ability to finish. I think,
is he the only one that scores that goal? Can we pivot to a one Jurgen Klopp statement saying that Mo Salah will eventually be on Messi's level? And with the goals that he was scoring, two of the four goals that Salah scored this weekend were of his own doing.
They were Messi
goals.
He beat
five players on the first goal.
Yep. Yeah.
It's just like this ticky-tack stuff. Like, he keeps the ball so close to him.
So close,
very
yeah.
Messi-like. But to what I call a much more difficult league to do it in a league where they're not scared to just push you over.
Mm-hmm.
He's still getting away from these players and keeping the ball away from them long enough to create. It used to be like, give a guy a yard, give a striker a yard to score a goal. You give Mo Salah an inch, and I'll guarantee you right now, he's scoring a goal. You
see everything went in.
The fourth goal he scored was like this little dribbler from 17 yards out. Like, almost. If
everything
you're like
goes
a conspiracy
in right
theorist,
now.
Theorist, you think the goalie has just said, forget it. Just let's let Mo win. Let's just let Mo Salah win the golden boot this year. I'm going to let this one dribble in. Like, are you kidding me? How does that even find the way in the back of the net? Because everything he touches right now.
He's on
is
fire.
Going in the back of the net. Now, how long has Mo Salah been doing this? One season. 31 games he's been playing like this.
Mm-hmm.
But, is Messi the only one that scores that goal right now? I don't think so. I think Mo Salah scores that goal too.
Yeah, I can see the argument there, especially after Mo Salah's finishing clinic over the weekend where Liverpool wins 5-0. And he's been dominating the Champions League as well. He's scoring a ton of goals. Closing in on all kinds of records. He actually, Ken, is
did you see the article that came out with, like, all the records he had beaten, that he has had for, like, Ronaldo in the league so far this year? It's a ton.
Yeah, he's, I think I was talking to Dr. Pete about it, because he was counting on Harry Kane taking the single-season goal record, which is technically in the English league, I think it's 34, but they're playing, I think it was more games then.
Well, Mo Salah's got 28 right now.
Yeah, and then I think the modern Premier League record is 31. I think that's right. So
I'll take your word for it.
You'd have to say that he's closing in on both those records, really. And Liverpool, with everything to play for going down the stretch, it's not like they're going to be able to sit him. Hopefully he won't get injured. But Liverpool with an amazing game over the weekend. Still playing better than Manchester United and looking like they deserve to be a second place team over Manchester United.
Well, I don't want to go into a whole thing back on the league. I just wanted to bring up Mo Salah in terms of Leo Messi. I just think that if we talk so much about form right now, Mo Salah is right on par with Lionel Messi. And however many people get mad about me saying that, fine.
No,
but
it's
that's
true.
Just a fact.
It's a fact. You'd have to say that because it's the Messi and Ronaldo era, just like Kevin De Bruyne, he'll be lucky to finish third in the Ballon d'Or unless Egypt wins the World Cup, which I don't see happening.
Oh my gosh! If that happens, there's something so crazy going in against like above all any powers that any human has.
You never know, Ken. You never know. Liverpool though draws Manchester City, Ken. So in the Champions League, those games are going to be awesome.
Yeah, let's talk about the draw here. And does Barca get the easiest draw of the what's left? Of course they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Sevilla's the worst team because, they're like a sixth-place Spanish team.
They're not like a sixth-place Spanish team. They are a sixth-place Spanish team with a -7 goal differential.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mal. Hang your hat on that one.
The only thing I will say real quick is that we would definitely lose in this round. If we were Manchester United playing Bayern, we would lose. We would not get past this round, but the embarrassment stands for Sevilla to beat you. Liverpool draws Man City, Barcelona draws Roma, Sevilla draws Bayern, and Juventus-Real Madrid will be a ton of fun. After Juventus is smack-talking after they won, I want them to lose. as they snuck out of there, a highway robbery, and then acted like it was a game plan to allow a team to smash them for 65 minutes.
Well, Real Hoovy is a pretty interesting tie because, I mean, they've been kind of dominating the Champions League for the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, it's defense versus Ronaldo, right? I mean, Juventus is supposed to have this great defense, and Ronaldo just owns the Champions League. So that'll be an awesome matchup. And Liverpool City, Klopp already said, both of us will be playing full-out rock and roll football.
Well, let's see this.
I'm really hoping for high-scoring games.
Let's move to a little bit of a pep for a minute.
Okay.
He's won the league already in epic fashion.
Yep.
Everyone's touting him around as to be, you know, the best manager in the world, managing the best club ever to touch the pitch, the way that they're doing things in England. And Liverpool's already beat City in the league.
Yeah.
I think if Liverpool beat City, they knocked them out of the Champions League over a two-game series. Like, this is going to be home and away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it still puts a dent in the Pep season.
Oh,
because,
absolutely.
Because of the way, like, now this is Pep's squad, Pep's formula, Pep's mentality, Pep's culture.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get a Champions League out of it, I don't get surprised if the powers that be at Manchester City start swirling around like, yeah, you know, Pep's not really our long-term guy.
I think that's
and
a
that's
little extreme.
That's in jest and it's extreme, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think that because they won the league in the fashion that they have and smashed their rivals to bits at Old Trafford to basically win the league.
Do I think that they're going to get rid of him at all? Absolutely
not. No,
not.
I don't think they'll get rid of him, but no how way. Much no how way. Much is it takes them out of the best club ever conversation
it will.
That they want
to
have. It takes them out of
season.
It. Yeah.
It has to happen
you
this
have
season.
To win. You have to win a Champions League to be in that conversation.
Well,
or
I think for Pep, for this season, he has to win the Champions League this season. Just because of the way that he's playing in the league, he has to continue to show that it's not just in England, it's not just domestically, that I am destroying on all fronts with my newfound mentality. I can take, quote-unquote, a prima donna club that is supposedly only where they are because of the money that's been invested into the club, I can still take it and give these guys a winning mentality. They're not all for the money. They're not all for the cash. Mm-hmm. They actually don't care about it. They only care about winning, and that's because I'm yelling at them if they make a mistake and we're up 6-0. If he doesn't win the Champions League this season, I do think it's a little bit of a – it would be a little bit of a an asterisk in, I think, Pep's managerial career, I think, personally, just because.
I think that it takes them out – like I said, it takes them out of the best team ever conversation. I don't think they have to win it this year for any – for his for his, like, I don't know, I guess legacy, even though I think he'll be there for a while. I don't think that...
Oh,
the
I think
fact,
he's
they
got
ha-
for
but
a meaningful
if,
amount of time.
If they get eliminated in the quarterfinals, I do think that's a black mark. It is. And it sucks for them because they're drawing a Liverpool team. You know, if they drew Sevilla...
Fire.
Yeah, and if they drew Sevilla, they wouldn't go in there like Sevilla was Barcelona, like United did. They would go in there and beat the pants off of them.
10-0 over the two legs.
Exactly, but they're playing a team, Liverpool, that's like, hey, you want to come here and score three goals? That's fine, we'll score five. Like, they are Liverpool's willing to lose 4-0.
Well, yeah, when Klopp says it's going to be pure rock and roll football, he's completely true because both managers have all but said, we know that the defense is not fully there, but we are going to score goals, and we're going to score a lot of them. So, good on you if you can score more than us.
It's going to be fun for sure, and it absolutely puts a dent in City season, but at the same time, winning the English Premier League by 16 points, having it wrapped up essentially by January, is quite the feat.
This has been wrapped up for a while.
Yes, it's quite the feat, so it would always be talked about as one of the best Premier League clubs ever, no matter what.
No question. I'm just talking about world domination-wise.
Yeah, but in terms of world domination, if they get knocked out in the quarterfinals, that's really, really bad. I mean, for the type of team that you are, basically they've been the first or second best team in the world for the last for the whole season, pretty much. Them and Barcelona have been duking it out for form. You'd have to say that would be a disappointment, and I don't think there'd be an inquest or anything, but it would be a disappointment.
It would, 100%.
So, yeah, I mean, the draws are what they are, and it's pretty exciting. Ken, you know, shifting gears, we were talking about Messi in the World Cup and Salah in the World Cup and De Bruyne in the World Cup. Did you see this week that, well, you saw it, that the World Cup will have VAR and Champions League says they won't have it? And yeah. You sent me a good article about VAR a few days ago, just talking about how it kind of takes some of the melodrama out of the game.
It does. And have you been watching MLS this season?
No, not really.
Okay, MLS is using VAR.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I can't remember if it was today or yesterday, there was Clint Dempsey actually got a red card via VAR.
Nice.
It takes about 60 seconds, 60 to 75 seconds for them to fully do it. So it's not, you know, an obstructive amount of time. But it does ruin the game to me. Like, if the referee doesn't see it, it didn't happen. It's like speeding. If you don't get a ticket, you weren't speeding. Like, I don't like the idea of the game being, like, a clock that doesn't stop, like in soccer or European football. I don't like the idea of us stopping time without stopping time, because the clock still goes. I don't know if you've seen VAR in real life yet, but the clock still goes.
Just a little bit in the FA Cup.
The clock still goes, but we're stopping for all intents and purposes. We're waiting for this guy to figure out. And maybe to me, honestly, it's the signal for VAR that annoys me. It's the little box. They draw a box in the air. And then they wave their hands and they run over.
that's what bothers you the most.
And they look at it. No, that's not. It's just like the whole idea of the whole thing. Like you can use it in certain instances, like goals, red cards, and like certain types of fouls. But it's. I don't know what the World Cup's going to use. That's just what I gather how MLS uses it. If it's a red card foul, they will VAR you. The sideline referee will say, hey, I saw this. It's potentially a red card. Go to the tape. Or what will happen is it'll be like a goal. So it'll be, was there a foul that resulted in the goal happening? Or was there a foul that resulted in the goal not being able to happen? I don't quite know how the second part works.
Mm-hmm.
Or also in penalties. So to me, you're ruining the flow of a game that has built itself on being free-flowing.
Yeah, I definitely see that side of it. The other side of it is getting things wrong, like really, really wrong. I mean, but is that part of the game, especially the World Cup with all the drama in the World Cup? I mean, you got everybody brings the Maradona hand of God goal up as a reason that they should have VAR. And then the other part of it would be, you know, R.N. Robin's dive in the last World Cup against Mexico.
But, okay, here's the caveat for VAR, at least at MLS. In MLS, they've stated it should be. Remember, like, maybe, like, 10 years ago when it first became popular, 15 years ago became popular for the guys who got tackled to automatically put their hand in their chest and act like they're pulling out a card?
You're supposed to get
a card for that.
Now, that's right.
It's supposed to be an automatic yellow card for signaling for VAR, i.e. mimicking a TV with your hands. But you have players doing it. Carlos Vela in MLS did that last week. No card, nothing at all. In fact, the referee took his warning and went right to VAR.
Yeah.
So now, but what I'm saying is, to use VAR, who has to incite, who has to say VAR is needed?
The referee.
The referee.
Mm-hmm.
It still leads to mistakes. And now what we have is it leading to a mistake that has to be called no matter what, because we've stopped the time to go look at the videotape. So now we have to make a call no matter what. And we're still allowing this very technical, technology, visionary development of soccer is still controlled by human aspect. It's not like, you know who has the best? NHL. They have the best. Do you know anything about the NHL? I know very little.
I know about the NHL, but I don't know much
about
the
NHL.
But the
NHL has like this one little room in Canada, from what I understand, that looks at every single play and every single game at all times. And they know for a fact what has happened all the time, because you know why? Someone who is watching it on slow motion will ring down to the referee in that specific arena and say, that is a penalty, or that is a foul, or that is a goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should work. The only thing that I see VAR working for and making any sense is for the off shot that the wrong player gets sent off.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting point.
That's one of the reasons they use it for, mistaken identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you've seen that before, like the wrong guy get a yellow card or the wrong guy get the red card. And, you know, the team won't say anything because a lot of the times it's some player that doesn't matter as much as the player who really did it. So they say, hey, just get the heck off the pitch, man. Go away. I'm needed more than you are. I know I kicked the guy in the face, but you got the red card for it. So go off.
I've seen that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see the good in it, but I'm still on the 99% negative train of VAR.
Yeah, I still really haven't made up my mind. I think it's really important to get some of these calls right. On the other hand, I completely agree with the flow of the game. It being a more... they call it the beautiful game for a reason. It doesn't have stoppages like that. I mean, it does sometimes with injuries and whatever, but... I mean, overall, it's a flowing game. Tyler... Be the tiebreaker here. What are your thoughts on VAR, and especially watching, you know, they didn't need it today for your FA Cup match, but what are your thoughts on it?
As much as it pains me to say it, I'm 100% with Ken on this one. Oh. I think it has no place in the game.
Interesting.
I think that there's a skill set to playing the game, knowing that it's a human beings that are fallible watching what you're doing, and if you can get something in, I think that makes the game more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That you have people that can draw fouls or call penalties that, you know, if they went back and reviewed it, they see what really happened, or that you can commit a penalty or sneak something by that you know that you can get in there.
Yeah.
It makes it more organic, more human. That's the one thing that I hate about American football. You get 11 seconds of actual action from the time that the ball is snapped till the time that the whistle blows the play dead. If you're lucky, it's 11 seconds. Most plays are less. Mm-hmm. And then you have more time with them reviewing what happened, resetting the play. I mean, they have, I think we've talked about this before, but they have YouTube videos where they take of an American football game and cut out everything except for the action, and you take a three-hour football game and you condense it down to less than 9 minutes. That's how much actual movement you're getting where the ball is in play. And that's why I've become so unenamored with American football, and why I've become really passionate about European football, is because it's always action. Things are moving, even when there's penalties, unless there's a serious injury. And half the time, they can pull the guy off the side and they keep the game going. I mean, it's fun to watch, and it makes it much more interesting. And I think that this damages what soccer is intrinsically by adding this kind of stuff in there. It takes away. It makes it less pure.
I agree with Alfeld wholeheartedly. What I will start doing after VAR is 100% implemented into my beautiful game that I love to watch every weekend, and I'd rather do nothing else other than watch it, I'll just start complaining about VAR.
Fair enough, Ken. That sounds like you anyway. Gives you something to complain about.
Now when your boys are a little older, you can sit there and be like, when I was your age, we didn't have VAR.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right.
You can just start being a crotchety old man right
exactly
now, Ken.
Exactly right. I cannot wait for those days. I got a little taste of it this weekend, actually. I got to go watch a family member play. He plays U17 for a traveling soccer team. And I got out of the car, I looked over at my wife, and I said, do you smell that, Megan? Do you smell that? I said, this is the smell of our future.
You're so dumb.
Every weekend, we will be somewhere with green grass, lined fields, poles with nets on it, and I just need you to get the oranges ready. This is it. I loved it.
On that theme, my son, my four-year-old, starts soccer on Saturday.
Woo!
So if you guys want to come, just bring everybody. And
has he done soccer before?
No, this is his first time.
Oh, okay. See, we put my oldest, when he was 18 months, we put him into a Baltimore-based soccer, like, program.
Yeah,
not much soccer going on in it, more bubble blowing and more those little like
tent
things
play.
That you play in, but yeah, I mean, 3 years old, they let them play by themselves, so July,
yeah, I used to
we're coming
to, I used to coach 3, 4, and 5 year olds in college as like a side job. I would do those programs, and the 3 year olds definitely are more likely to sit and put their mouth on the ball. And
well,
the
like, 4 year olds,
yeah, and the 4 year olds, the 4 year olds you can teach stuff to. So yeah, we got my son will be doing 45 minutes. For the team, whatever the team he's playing for, and then maybe a 2 hour session with dad afterwards, where we're doing like plyos and
skull sessions, where you just go over on a chalkboard what he did wrong the whole time.
Yeah, my dad's in on it too. My dad is so starved for soccer. He can't.
Is this like an actual team, or is it like a
It's like a program.
Okay, so they do practices and then a game, or is it all in
one
day?
No, it's a program. Like every week, every Saturday, they go and dribble around and shoot.
Yeah,
so
they're not a team yet. I got you.
We'll be forming an under 5 club team probably in the near future. But yeah, no, we're excited about that. My dad is so pumped about it. Ever since my youngest brother was the last one to get washed up and stop playing meaningful games, although he said he had an Ocean City tournament this weekend that he claimed is meaningful. He's super washed up. So my dad has to look forward to our like high school alumni games, which are us being super old and beat up. So
I can't wait until my kids get old enough. I'm gonna be that dad coaching the team, shows up every Saturday in a suit, bored.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I mean, I'm looking forward to Tyler's kid just being like a foot taller than everybody else.
Big Sam.
Mashing. Yeah, Big Sam. Just mashing.
Peter Crouch of the under 5.
Oh, come on. Sam's a good looking kid.
Yeah.
A good looking kid. All right, well, that's it for me. Ken, do you want to add anything else?
I got nothing.
I'm excited. Tyler, you should be excited. Tyler, anything to add?
I do not have anything.
All right. Well, we had a lot to do this week. The international break is coming up, so we're going to take the week off. And we will be back in, I guess, around Easter weekend as the games start coming again. And they're pretty much, the run-in is coming down. You got a lot to play for, and even if you're just in Europa. Got the
just
FA
in
Cup.
Europa? What are you talking about? Disrespectful? Are you serious? That's my ticket back into the Champions League, where I can finally give that league some prestige. If you had any worth about you, you'd be wanting Arsenal to win that league, so I can finally bring back the prestige that Champions League so rightfully deserves.
I'll root for Arsenal. I root for Premier League when they're playing in European
competitions. If you're not rooting for English teams, are you really a fan of the Premier League? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess
I'd begrudgingly wanted United to win that. I knew they wouldn't, though, because Mal's terrible, but... Let's go into 2 weeks. I'll see you guys later.
All right, guys. Well, I hope everybody has an awesome week, and the weather turns finally. So enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.